I don't remember how far we got. I think around Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph on the last two lines. I think so. Kuf Yud Aleph. I think Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph on the last two lines.
Unless somebody,
is somebody?
I have no idea.
No.
It's yours.
Thank you.
So the Gemara was discussing broiling two different types of flesh, one on top of the other. So you want to broil chal, that's the udder that has the milk mixed in, and you want to broil regular flesh. I want to broil kaved, which has an issue of extra dam, together with normal flesh. So which one should you put on top and which one should you put on the bottom if you want to broil both at the same time? So the Gemara tells a story. Ravashi ikla de Rami baraba chamua. He once visited by his father-in-law. So he sees that his brother-in-law is doing the wrong thing. Chazia lebrei de Rami baraba. He sees that the son of his father-in-law does haste his wife's brother. The koshapit, he was a yeshiva guy, and he had a shpud. A shpud is a spit. And he was broiling kuf yud aleph amid base, the top line, kuf yud aleph amid base. So he was broiling koved ilavi bisra. He was broiling the liver on top of regular flesh, on top of normal flesh. So Rav Ashi got upset, and he gave musa to his brother-in-law, Omar. So he screams out, Kama yohir hai mirabana. Look how arrogant this young yeshiva guy is. Eim adam rabbanan b'diyevet. The Chachamim said the din is b'diyevet. If you broil the liver on top of the flesh, you're supposed to broil the flesh on top of the liver. Because if you have broiled flesh on top of flesh, or liver on top of livers, they have the same degree of dam. But if you're going to broil the liver on top of the flesh, then the liver has a bigger problem of dam. So the Chachamim said, b'diyevet, it's good. Ey, madam, rabbanan. Yes, true, the Chachamim said, b'diyevet, it's mutter. Aber l'chatchila me'yomer. And this, my brother-in-law goes ahead and he does it l'chatchila. Then the Gemara says, v'i'ika beidugi. Beidugi, Rashi explains, is an Aramaic word that means there's a container on the bottom. Years ago, they used to think that the schmaltz is very healthy. So when they used to broil flesh, so the dam would drip down. Let's say you have flesh which you didn't salt yet. So you do melicha muetis, you salt it a little bit and you broil it, and the dam is going to drip down. The dam is going to drip down, but the schmaltz is also going to be lost. So they didn't want to lose the schmaltz. So they had a container on the bottom where the dam dripped in and the schmaltz dripped in. So the schmaltz was kosher, the dam is treif, so all the schmaltz should be treif. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. If you're broiling normal flesh, so the dam is going to sink to the bottom and the schmaltz is going to be floating on the top. And you'll only take off, you'll scoop off the schmaltz on the top and the dam on the bottom, the reddish part, anything that's slightly reddish, we'll assume that's treif because it has a blend of the dam. And everything floating on top is going to be only schmaltz. But if you're going to have liver with regular flesh, v'ika beidugi, how are you supposed to do it? Nochmal, if you have liver and flesh. So Ravashi's brother-in-law was a wise guy. He screamed at him, Abal gaiva kama yoyer haimer abon. Look how arrogant he is. He did l'chatchila the liver on top of the flesh. The din is it's only muta b'yevin. The way to do l'chatchila, the correct way to broil liver and flesh is to have the flesh on top and the liver on the bottom. But if you have a beidugi, you have a container on the bottom to collect the schmaltz from the flesh, and then it's going to be so much dam because it's going to be extra dam from the liver. So then teignish, even if you have the flesh on top of the liver, teignish, because the dam is going to be mixed up in everything. If you have a container on the bottom, even with the eved, you're not allowed to eat the schmaltz and the beidugi.
Greg, mixed with the blood, is that why?
Yeah, because the schmaltz is going to be mixed with the blood.
It doesn't rise to the top of the...
Greg, the Gemara, but that's what we always do when you do flesh. When you do flesh without liver, you put a container on the bottom and it collects the dam and the schmaltz. And we assume the dam all sinks to the bottom and the schmaltz floats to the top. We always do that. Greg, the Gemara, maishna midoma de bisra. Why is it different from irregular flesh? When you put a container on the bottom, you assume the schmaltz floats on the top and the dam sinks to the bottom. And for the Gemara name, it's not the same. Dama de bistra shachin. The dam from regular flesh sinks to the bottom and it stays on the bottom. So whatever has a little reddish color in it, so that we're not going to eat, that's treif. So and the schmaltz is going to float to the top and it's going to be separated. Dama de kavda, but the dam from the kavid, because there's so much dam, that's going to be coffee. That's going to float to the top. and the schmaltz is floating on the top. So the schmaltz is going to be treif because it's going to have a mixture of the dam in it. So it's not going to be separated. So you see from this gemara, you see from the next daf also, the din is, let's say you cooked flesh with blood, and blood is usur, so the flesh becomes usur. If you will succeed in removing every particle of blood from the flesh, then it's mutter. If you cooked basa b'chalav, and then you removed every particle of chalav from the basa, that's a big machlekes in Yeridaya. That's machlekes the shach and other achrayim. If you created, you only create basa b'chalav because the chalav gives a tam in the basa. But let's say you remove every single particle, not only you removed enough chalav that you can no longer taste it in the basa. That's called efshel esochto. When you squeeze out enough chalav that you can no longer taste the chalav in the basa, but you know there's still a little more, there's still chalav left, but it's batel b'shishim. So that was the gemara, that was a machlekes tanoim, where efshel esochto osur amuta, we paskan osur. But what if it's efshel hafrido? What if you succeed in removing every single particle of chalav? So that's a machlekes the shach and others, and the shach says lechumra. But if you have, it's not a shayla basa b'chalav, a shayla of treifis, you cooked schmaltz with dam. So you can't eat the schmaltz, it's full of dam. But then you have some chemical procedure over here, the chachamim assume that all of the blood will sink to the bottom, and the schmaltz that's going to float on top, even though it had a flavor of the dam originally, but somehow chemically they assume every particle of dam will be removed from the schmaltz. So then the din is that the schmaltz is mutter. The Gemara is going to have the next level, also that some simple chemical procedure where they felt that it removed all of the dam. So then the din is that it's mutter.
Does that mean by pas b'chalav, if it becomes post nevela, not nevela anymore, if you can squeeze it out totally?
That's the machlokes. So some hold by pas b'chalav, if you remove every particle of milk, now it becomes ois pas b'chalav. The shach thinks not so. The shach thinks not so. Once it became pas b'chalav, even if you remove all of the chalav, it remains awesome. But by other treifas, not pas b'chalav, chaticha nas nevela bishari surim, schmaltz with dam, if you remove every particle of dam, then the Gemara said beferish that is mutter.
But
that's what love is also, another resume, but chaticha nas nevela. Yeah, we pass in the Ramah, pass in bishari surim also, chaticha, but not to the same extent as basa b'chalav. By basa b'chalav, chaticha nas nevela is a din deraisa. By shari surim, it's only a din derabban and exera otto basa b'chalav. And the nature of the din is not the same. That's the shach paskins like that. Chaticha nasvel b'shari surim is only the rabbanon. There's a tesis earlier that says not so. Chaticha nasvel b'shari surim is also the rice. So we don't paskin like that tesis. We paskin like the shach b'shem harai. The chaticha nasvel b'shari surim is only the rabbanon. The whole nature of the din is not the same either. By basa b'chalav, chaticha nasvel means it became basa b'chalav. It remains basa b'chalav. The shach holds even if you succeed in removing all of the chalav. But b'shari surim, if you have the schmaltz with the blood, you succeed in removing every particle of blood. So the schmaltz is ois chaticha nas nevela. B'shari surim, that's called chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim. Let's say I cooked chazer with kosher soup. I dropped some chazer in kosher soup and it gives an asinus tam. I didn't have shishim. So you're not allowed to eat the kosher soup. But then you add on so much more liquid or so much more kosher soup that now I do have shishim. So that's the machloikas. Do you need shishim against the whole treifa soup? Oh no, now you have shishim against the chazer. So now it's mutter. So that's machloikas and mechaber neramah. That's called chaticha nas nevela bishari surim. So we, the Ashkenazim, followed, the Sfardim followed the mechaber. Ashkenazim followed the ramah that you say chaticha nasas nevela even bishari surim. But we pass on that chaticha nas nevela bishari surim is only with the rabbanon. The basa b'chalav chaticha nas nevela is a din deraisa, and bishari surim it's only the rabbanon atu agzera atu basa b'chalav. That's a long run. You look in the riff on our sugya. It's a long, long run. The page I don't think has any riff. I think it just has run. It's a long, long run that the shach quotes a lot heavily from that run.
Make it at the outset that you should be able to bring your back into a conscious. That would call up a part of the animal.
Yeah.
You just can't eat it. So if I could separate it, so I'm But here, it's
asa banah
to begin with.
Asa banah, so you're not allowed to do something with it. That's aim of atanis l'chatchil. You're not allowed to do a trick to make it mutter because you're getting hanor. But let's say if it happened like that, I cooked basa b'cholav and then so much more water fell in, then now there's no longer any tam. So that's called efshel esochto. So efshel esochto was a machlekes atanoim. That's called aim of atanis l'chatchil. You're not allowed to add on more soup in order to be mevat. Shari surim also you're not allowed to. It's also aim of atanis l'chatchil. Aim of atanis l'chatchil means if you have treifus, you're not allowed to be mevatel it. And it also means if treifus fell into kasha and they don't have shishim, you're not allowed to add on to make shishim. That's also aim of atanis l'chatchil. We're talking b'diyevet, it happened by accident, it happened like that. Treifus fell into kosher soup and there's no shishim, and then more heta soup fell in and now you do have shishim. So that's the big machlokes, Rabbein Ephraim and Rabbein Tam. So Rov HaRishonim hold like the Mechaber, like the Rabbein Ephraim, that Chaticha and Asna Vela does not apply to Shari Surim. And Ashkenazim HaMachma like the Ramo, like the Rabbein Tam. What has been?
It's part of
the whole thing. So you have to have shishim against the
whole.
You have to have shishim against the whole piece of flesh that has the tam of cholav in it. Yeah. And we're machmer the Ashkenazim, I'm machmer like the Ramor. This comes up in the kashrus in the home. It rarely comes up, but in industrial kashrus, it comes up. You know, hashgachis, and the kashrus comes up every day. That's the most common shaila. They have an ingredient that has a they have a food that has 25 ingredients, and each ingredient has a whole bunch of ingredients. So let's say you have one ingredient that has a little bit of treifus in it, and you don't have shishim. Then this ingredient falls into bigger mixture. You don't have shishim against the ingredient, but you have shishim against the little bit of treifus that was there in the first place. So that Ramos Machmer for Ashkenazim. Since you didn't have shishim in that ingredient against the treifas, when it falls into the big thing, you need shishim against the whole thing. That's called chaticha nas nevela b'shari sur. But that's only midirabbonim. By basa b'chala, svarim amekel. Yeah, svarim fala the mechaber rov harishonim say lahakel that the din of chaticha nas nevela only applies to basa b'chala, doesn't apply to shari sur. But even though we say chaticha nas nevela, that means Efshel Esochto is asr. It's not enough if you have shishim against the treifa ingredient in the first thing. You have to have shishim against the whole thing. But let's say you succeed in removing every particle of isr. Sometimes you have like that. They have chemical procedures where you can succeed in removing the entire bli of isr. So then Efshel Afrido Bishari Surim is had to gomel l'cholade. It's only by basa b'cholav the shach is machna.
If according to Rav Moshe, it's mechur to give a hashgacha where you from Bittul, even if you hold like the Machab and not the Kumabada, you don't see Chatim Sinas ended up with Shari Surim, even if it was Batel, you're not allowed to give a Hashkacha on what was Batel. So how does it come up in situations in Halacha all the time? If you're not allowed to give a Hashkacha on something that already had Bittul.
I don't get, let's say, the OU doesn't give a Hashkacha and that factory produces an ingredient.
Right.
That ingredient has a little bit of treifus in it, but that's Batel B'shishim. So if we want to give a hashgacha on that company, that's not proper. If it would be a Jewish company, there would be a violation of the aim of atanis l'chatchila. So we can't give a hashgacha on a goyish company if they're using a procedure that we wouldn't be allowed to do. That's like our Shabbos goy. The goy mixes in treifus and it's batel b'shishim, so the din is that it's mutter. So you can't give a hashgacha. But we don't give a hashgacha to that company. We want to know, can we buy that ingredient from that company? If the yisr shabo is batel b'shishim, so we can buy it. It's dover mechur to give hashgach on that company, but we're not giving. We're giving hashgach on a product, and we're buying one ingredient from them. That one ingredient is kosher because the yisr shabo is batel b'shishim already. What does the Gemara have? Different cases of bli asisa. Here we're up to the fifth line on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Chulin, Gemara Chulin. Amr Av Nachman Amr Shmuel, they quote in the name of Shmuel, Sakin Sheshochat Bo, have a knife, that a very sharp knife to shech the behemah. So when you shech the behemah, the knife is going to get splattered with dam. So the question is, does the knife become treif? Does it get a bliya from the dam? So there's only a bliya if it's hot. So what's the din duchke de sakina? Let's say I cut a cold piece of chazer with a kosher knife. So does it become treif with duchke de sakina alone? Duchke de sakina alone. So lechatchila we are machmer for that opinion. And ches on the base, there's a tesis. It's not by Bikias. You look on the margin here, on the left margin, they tell you ayin liel tesis ches on the base. And the shita mekubetzes also tells you aleph. Look in the tesis ches on the base. And the right side margin and the left side margin tells you, they got to look on ches on the base. So on ches on the base, there's a tesis v'hilchasa. So the agav duchki sakina. So tesis quotes there was an opinion in tesis that if you have a sharp knife, or you have, let's say, a fork, and you stick the prongs of the fork into some tray for food, and it's a hard tray for food, so you stick it in, and there's a duchki de sakina, let's say you stick in a fork into soup to stir the soup, so there's no duchki de sakina. You stick a knife into the soup to stir the soup, there's no duchki de sakina. But if you stick the prongs of the fork or the knife into something hard, so there's one opinion that duchki de sakina makes a bliya even b'tzayin. So in Shulchan Aruch it says we're machmir never to cut the challah with a fleshig knife or a milchig knife, even though it's clean. We have a bread knife. Where does the minhag come from? It comes from the Jews to have a bread knife. Why? Because according to the one opinion in Tosfos, if you're going to cut the challah with a fleshig knife and makes the challah fleshig, so you can't use, even though you're not, if you're eating with your fingers and you stick the schmaltz on the challah, or you're eating milchiks and you stick the cheese on the challah. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, years ago everybody ate with their fingers. There was no such thing as eating with forks and knives. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the leftover challah from fleshig meal should not be eaten with a milchig meal. The leftover challah from a milchig meal should not be eaten with a fleshig meal, because biyadua bevadai that you probably stuck some schmaltz on the challah. But we're talking in recent years that people don't eat with their fingers. A little bit they eat, but basically they don't eat with their fingers. They use forks and knives. So the shayla is, if you're going to cut the bread with a fleshig knife, does it make that slice fleshig and you can't use it with milchitz? So it says, l'chatchila b'choshish for that opinion of Tosfos. But mikra din, we really don't hold like that. The only time you say duchki de sakina is if it's hot. If it's hot, so you don't need duchki de sakina. If it's yatzah lettuce, you don't need duchki de sakina. So the answer is no. It's not really hot yatzah lettuce. It's a little below yatzah lettuce. That was the Gemara, ches on the base. The Gemara discusses how hot is the neck of the animal when you shecht it. The body temperature of a human being is what, 98? Whatever. So the behemoths have a certain body temperature, but when you shecht them, all of the blood starts to gush towards the neck, and the neck gets hotter than it usually is. It doesn't become 180 degrees. So how hot does the neck become? What is the hottest that the neck ever becomes? So they made a survey, and they turned out, I think, in kachkis, either in ducks or in geese or something, is the hottest that the neck ever becomes. I think they said it becomes 113 degrees Fahrenheit.
When the shechet shech, the dam from the live animal, the dam is warm.
Yeah, it's warm. Yeah.
It's not so the shayla is burning.
Oh, that's the shayla. It's not burning hot. You won't burn your finger, but it's very warm. It's warmer than the normal body temperature of the behemoth because all the blood gushes makes it warmer.
But so, at the end of the day, it's still not yatzah
lettuce. Oh, so that was a shayla in the Gemara. Do you say beis hashchita roseach? The neck at the time of shchita, the beis hashchita is the neck where you shech. Is it roseach? Is it called yatzah lettuce or is it below yatzah lettuce? Gemara says it's below yatzah lettuce. That's why there's a discussion. You look in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa, he has a discussion how hot does something have to be that it should be called Yatzah Lettuce, that there's a bliya. So Rav Soloveitchik said he thinks something between 140 and 160. He thinks below 140 is nothing to discuss. And all the kashrus organizations in America are machmer from 120. 120 is probably not, but that's a chumra. 120 is close to the Yatzah Lettuce. And the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos, he quotes 114. Where did he get the gematria 114? What is that? So the gematria is because they tested it. He quotes all the sources of the experiment, and they said the hottest the neck of any animal ever becomes when you shecht it. is either the goose, either the geese or the ducks, I forgot which one he writes there, and the hottest it becomes is 113. So that was a pilpul in the Gemara Daf Ches on the base, where the base hashchit the tzayin and the base hashchit the resech. Is that hot enough to be called Yatzalei? This in the Maskanos, the Gemara was based Hashchit the Tzaynin. It's not enough. So you see, the 113 was borderline, and it just didn't make it. It's below, but 114 is already on the other side of the border. They didn't have the same measurement that we have. Right, so that's why it's a little bit of a joke, or a very big joke, to say the 113 is not, the 114 is. What do you mean? If the Beis HaShechita, the 113 is not, so probably if another 10, 15 degrees, it's still not going to be Yatzalet. That's Rav Soloveitchik, so it's 140. But that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa has the Chumer from 114. That's where it comes from. Moshe doesn't talk about the lowest, he talks about the highest. The din is, if a guy pours wine, so we're choshish that he made it Yayin Nesach. So he asks, if a guy touches the wine, he pours the wine, so we're choshish that he asks. But if it's Yayin Mevushal, let's say it's kosher manufactured wine, Kedem wine, kosher wine, and then the guy handles it. So if the guy pours it in front of an Avodah Zarah, it becomes the Kruvus. There's no two ways about it, even if it's water. Even if it's Pepsi Cola, if he pours it, that's the Kruvus, it becomes awesome. But if the guy handles the wine, we don't know one way or the other whether he's had in mind the shame to be Menasechet. So the Gemara says if it's Yayin Mevushal, they never made the Gzeret, because Yayin Mevushal, cooked wine, is Pasul Nasech Agabi Hamzbech on the Beis HaMikdash, because it's Garua, it's inferior wine. So Mistama the Goyim, the Abdi Avodah Zarah, would probably not use it to be Menasech in their religion either. So if it's Yayin Mevushal, you don't have to be Choshen. So the question is, how high do you have to cook it that it should be called Yayin Mevushal? So the Tzelem Ruv used to give the Hashgacha on Kedem, and now his stepson, I think, gives the Hashgacha. He's called the Tzelem Ruv. So his stepfather used to say, you have to cook it till 212. Oh. If it's below 212, below evaporation,
it's boiling.
So if you cooked it anything less than 212, it's not called Yayin Mevushal. So half of the Kedem bottles say this is not Mevushal, half of the Kedem bottles say this is Mevushal, but they say they're all pasteurized. So Moshe writes in his Sefer, that's a Galechta. He doesn't want to insult people, so he doesn't say Kedem Tzelem Arov, he just says it's not correct. He says if it's pasteurized, it's cooked to such a high degree, all the pasteurized wine is Mevushal. So the Shaila is, how high do you have to pasteurize it? What degree temperature do you have to cook it? What's the highest? We're not going to say 114. 114 is lechumra. 120, 140, that's lechumra. So Soloveitchik thought somewhere between 140 and 160. So Rav Moshe discusses in different shuras how high do you have to cook the wine that that it should be for sure Yayin Mevushal, that if the Nochri will handle it, he won't ask. So in three different shuras, he writes three different numbers. So one shuva, he writes 185. 185 is Yad Nichlis Bo. 185, you put your hand in, you take it out, your skin will be burnt off. 185. So that the Pashta says that it's not 185. And the other children are Moshe writes lower. One he writes 175, one he writes 165, something like that.
Does wine have a different boiling point than water?
Different liquids have different boiling points. I don't think wine is that different. I don't think so. It's about the same. Different liquids have different boiling points. That's how they make schnapps. That's how they distill the schnapps. Because the alcohol boils at 50 degrees, you lower. Boils, evaporates at 50 degrees centigrade. So they boil the schnapps to 50 degrees, the alcohol evaporates, and the rest of the junk remains behind. And then they cause it to condense later on. So then they have only alcohol, they have only pure alcohol. So different liquids have different evaporation points, yeah. So we pass on like this. If you have a Beis HaShechita which is tzaynin, it's warm, it's very warm, but it's not the Yatzaletis. So if you have a combination of Duch Kiddus Hakina with a little bit Beis HaShechita is Rosech, a little bit, so the combination together makes a Bliya. But if you have a knife and you cut a cold piece of ham, that's Duch Kiddus Hakina, but there's no warmth at all. Or you have only Beis HaShechita, and I have a plate, a kosher plate touches the neck of the behemoth. There's no Duch Kiddus Hakina, there's only Beis HaShechita. So if you have Beis HaShechita alone, or you have Duch Kiddus Hakina alone, It does nasa. You have to have a combination of both. Duch kiddis hakina with beis hashchit a little bit rosech.
Yeah, but so if it's rough, you have to keep rubbing. I mean, the knife has just a little crux, so it has a great deal of effort to cut. Aren't you afraid about that? In other words, certain things you can't cut so quickly, it may take a great deal of pressure.
Yeah.
You want to cut, right?
Yeah.
That's like, it's like shchitin on the way. Shchitin, you can't, no pressure.
Shchita is always pressure.
No,
drasa is if you push down. But if you push down at the same time that you're pushing sideways, you always push down. But if you're pushing sideways at the same time, then it's not called drasa, then it's called shchita. Then it's called shchita. That's good. Probably not duch kiddus hakina. If it's hot, I don't know. That's a good question. If you have a knife and you cut a challah, if you cut a cake, it's questionable whether that. If you cut a tray for salami, that's a knife. That's a duch kiddus hakina. Or you stick a kosher fork into a tray for salami, that's a duch kiddus hakina. The prongs go in. But if you cut a challah, it's still questionable whether that a balatesis.
Take something out of the freezer.
Okay, that'll be a duch kiddus hakina, but it won't be at zero with any warmth. So lechatchila we're choshish for that, out of respect for that balatesis. Choshes for that opinion, but Mikra Adin, we don't pass like that. Mikra Adin, we only pass like this Gemara. It's Duch Kiddus Hakina, Bitsiruf, Beis Hashchita is a little bit warm, so the combination together makes a Bliya. Yeah, okay. The only time the Bliya goes through and through is if you have Bishul cooking it together in a pot, then it makes a Bliya through and through.
Is the other exception Dava Charif with the Sakina where you don't have to have it hot?
Right, a dava charef also. If you have a knife and you cut a dava charef, if you cut an onion, that's what they say. If you cut an onion with a knife, that's duch kiddus hakina. Like a little bit warm, bit zirup duch kiddus hakina makes a bliya. So duch kiddus hakina with a dava charef also makes a bliya. Right. Kedei klipa, yeah. That's a shaila, you see the Gemara, you see this Tosfos. Where is that in the Tosfos? Here the Tosfos is Kuf Yud Beis Amin Aleph Agav Churfei Bola. You see the Tosfos Kuf Yud Beis Amin Aleph Agav Churfei Bola. Tosfos says Yesh Li Zoher, you should be careful. Shelo Lachtach Shumim Krishim Ubitzolim. Shumim are garlic is sharp. Bitzolim is Tzibalach, Butzel is onions, same word, Butzel, Tzibalach. Krishim, I don't know what it is, some kind of a sharp vegetable. B'sakan chaylevis, you shouldn't cut onions or sharp vegetables with a milchig knife. Mishum da harifi tuva, they're very sharp. And duch kiddus hakina b'tzirif with a dava charef will make a bliya, just like duch kiddus hakina with a little bit of beis hashchita is warm makes a bliya. So then Tosfos ends off that there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the last line of Tosfos, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Tes, where the Gemara has a Churma by Chiltis. Chiltis, I don't know what it is some kind of a vegetable that's extremely sharp, like a very sharp pepper. So there the Gemara seems to say that even if you have a treifa knife that's Eina Ben Yomo, hasn't been used for treifas in 24 hours, so we usually assume that the treifa bliya that's sitting in the thickness of the walls of a pot or in the knife, it's sitting there for 24 hours, so the charsis hagdera or the mateches is going to cause it to have a metallic flavor. It's going to ruin the flavor of the treifas, going to make it into nice and tamliv gum. So the Gemara said that's under normal circumstances, but if you have a treifa knife that hasn't, that it became treif over 24 hours ago, and you cut a chiltis, which is a very sharp vegetable, so the bliya, duch kiddus hakina with the dava charef, the bliya will go into the vegetable. And because it's so sharp, so the fact that it was a shtikel, nice and tam levgam, will be forgotten now. Because the charifas of the vegetable will cause all the nice and tam levgam to be forgotten. And it makes it into nice and tam levshrach, now it makes a trick. So Tosfos is not sure whether that chumra, that if the Gemara only says it by chiltis, whether that chumra that even a kli she'ena ben yomo, is chulye, the sharpness, mishavyele the shvach, mechalyele the shvach, makes it into nice and tam the shvach. Is that only by chiltis, or does it even apply to all sharp vegetables? So in Yeridei, we're machmer that all sharp vegetables like that. That's the famous story that Rav Baruch Epstein has, the author of the Torah Tmima, wrote a long autobiography that's in three volumes. It says, Gula Farich HaSyamim, to sit and read his, I used to read it when I was in high school. Mekor Baruch, yeah. Yeah, part of it was printed in English. Yeah. My uncle didn't see it. Yeah. So he has a lot of stories there. Says one of the many stories that he has there is that a woman once came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner with the shaila that she, by mistake, she took a milchik knife and she cut the onions and she cooked the onions with the flesh, with the chicken for Shabbos. So she wanted to know whether the onions became milchik, whether it makes the chicken treif. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he asked her whether the onions were black shelled or brown shelled. So she said she never saw a black shelled onion. They had brown shells. So he said it's mutter. So she thanked him and she ran home. She's afraid he's gonna change his mind. So she ran out of the yeshiva. So the Talmidim asked him, where does it say that in Yeridaya? He made it up from thin air. The difference between brown shelled and black shelled. So he said in Shulchan Aruch they paskin that onions is a davar charev. And he doesn't like that psak. He thinks like this suggestion in Tosfos, that the treifa kli she'ani ben yomo only asses the onions if it's chiltis, very very sharp, and if it's onions and other things, he holds that it does not. But you can't paskin against the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, he was told that the onions are black shelled, and black shelled is sharper than brown shelled, as we all know that people who have dark hair have sharper minds than people with blonde hair. I'm blonde. Hazayta gizok. So he says, since the onions in Poland were brown shelled, so the Shulchan Aruch isn't talking about these onions, so he's entitled to say his opinion because he's not paskining against the Shulchan Aruch. And he sized up the woman. She was a very poor woman. She was dressed in rags, and Erev Shabbos, that was all they had for Shabbos. And he's going to tell it straight, she's not going to have anything to eat for Shabbos. So he felt that he had to be makel. The Rabbanim have to know when they have a right to be makel and when not. That's one of his.
They say when you pass it aside, don't look at the chicken, look at the wound. You don't look at the chicken, look at the wound.
You have to look at both. How big is the shasat chak, and so on.
Nowadays, is there a problem with onions? I mean, cutting onions. Did you cut it?
Yeah. We're machmer, and Shulchan Aruch says we're machmer on everything. We're machmer on everything.
What if the sake itself is hot, but the miracle is not?
Also, the lasik of the klipa. If one of the two is warm, yeah. If you have duchid sakin, it's a little bit warm, then it'll lasik of the klipa. Yeah. I don't think so. No. That's only when the treif ablia goes into the vegetable. So since the vegetable is a davar charev, there it becomes nois and tam l'shvach. But in the knife, the treif of bli in the knife still remains nois and tam l'shvach. It doesn't make the knife into nois and tam l'shvach. The knife is still nois and tam l'shvach. Yeah, we are machmer on everything. Let's say I had a treif knife, and I cut a pickle. I cut a kosher pickle. So we are machmer. Shaila, how sharp does the pickle have to be that you should say, so the Pashto says if it's a very sour pickle, then it would be a davachar. So Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore learned in Lakewood. So he says that they once asked Rabbi Aaron Kotler, every sneeze that Rabbi Aaron Kotler did is a halacha. So they once asked Rabbi Aaron Kotler, by mistake, they cut something with a milchik knife, fleshik knife, whatever, they cut a pickle. Rabbi Aaron Kotler said it's okay. And he didn't ask him whether it was a full sour pickle or a half sour pickle. So it's a raya, since Rabbi Aaron Kotler didn't ask a raya that he held that all pickles are not called davar charev. No. So not everybody goes for that raya. So let's say you have a very sharp pickle and you cut it with a treifa onion. So we would say a davar charev, duch kiddush sakin, a davar charev, it makes a treif. Does it make the plate also treif? The duch kiddush sakin was on the pickle. Dukhid Sakina makes it on the plate also. So as the years go on, more and more people are machmar and everything. So then the latest one that came up, that the plate also becomes treif.
Why?
Dukhid Sakina.
Didn't cut the plate.
But since you place pressure on the pickle, which is sitting on the plate, that also became. To me, it doesn't make sense. But that's what the latest swarm came up with, a chumra. I don't know if you're mechuyif to observe all these chumras, but...
Chumras.
Yeah. So you're from America. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Everything is kosher until proven that it's treif. And other people start off with the attitude, everything is treif until it's proven to be kosher. Depends where you start from. I don't think so. I think we assume everything is mutter until you establish that it's treif. Everything, all fruits and vegetables are becheskas heter. Behema b'chayeh becheskas sisur emet. It's a live animal, it's treif. So you have to know for sure bevados that you had a proper shechita. But fruits and vegetables are kosher. Unless it's from Eretz Yisrael, everything starts off tevel. Okay, it's becheskas tevel. But fruits and vegetables in America start off becheskas heter. So you have to establish that it's treif. You have to prove that it's treif. And so let's go again. We're on the fifth line on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base. Amram Nachan Amar Shmuel Sakin Sheshochad Bo. I use the knife to shech the behema. So does the knife have a blia of dam? I did a good job. I shecht it properly. So there's no Eib Menachai. Does it have a blia of dam? Zokta, yeah. Because you have Duchki the Sakina with a little bit Beis HaShchita. There's a little bit Reseach. It's not hard enough to say Beis HaShchita Reseach on its own. And Duchki the Sakina alone does Nasir if it's cold. But the Tzirif are both together. So the knife becomes strafe. So what's going to be with this knife? The knife now has a blia of dam. Now I wash off the knife. Now I want to know, can I cut some food? So if I'm going to cut, I have a trefa knife. If I'm going to cut something cold, I'm going to cut a cold salami. So there's going to be dukki de sakina, but there's no warmth. So then it's not going to make trefa. But if I'm going to cut a hot piece of flesh, so then you don't even need the dukki de sakina. If I put the knife on a hot piece of flesh, so then the hot flesh is going to have, if it's yatzo lettuce, Sakin sheshochet bo osa lachdech bo reseach. You're not allowed to cut the hot flesh with it because it's going to be reseach. It's going to make a blia. What about tzainin? What if I want to use the treifa knife to cut a cold piece of flesh? What's the din? So it's a machlekes. Amri lo, some are of the opinion by hadocha. Some say you have to wash it off. Amri lo, lo by hadocha. What's the shaila? Whether what's by hadocha? Whether the piece of flesh is by a hadocha, or whether the knife needs hadocha. So Rashi learns that the two versions are whether the piece of flesh, whether you have to rinse off the piece of flesh. What do you mean?
I'm talking about the fact that the knife was already cleaned. The knife was washed.
So what's going on? So you're talking. So if the knife was washed, what do you have to wash off the piece of flesh for? The knife is not washed. So of course you have to wash off the piece of flesh. Of course you have to rub off the. Of course, by hadocha. So what's the two versions in the Gemara? What are the two opinions in the Gemara? It doesn't read straight. So they tell you to look in the Tosfos Daf Chesem and Beis. She hisigu apirish Rashi da'ocha. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. The Tosfos says like this: the word baser is masculine, and the word sakin is always assumed to be feminine. I'm not sure why, but that's what we say: sakin cholebes, a sakin cholebes. It's a loshen ekeva. So the Gemara says, some say baya hadocha, some say lo baya hadocha. Baya is loshen nekeva. It does require hadocha, she requires hadocha, she does not require hadocha. So the Tosfos says, obviously they're talking about the knife, they're not talking about the piece of flesh. So the Gemara has the machloikas. Amri lo, some say baya hadocha, you have to wash off the knife before you cut a piece of flesh with it. Amri lo, lo baya hadocha. Others say you don't need hadocha on the knife before you cut the piece of flesh with it.
Rashi says, ha'ud somen, he talks
right, the flesh.
Yeah,
so Tosfos on Daf Ches quotes Rashi and they disagree. They say if it goes on the piece of flesh, a basar tzaynin is a loshen zocher. So it should say amla bo'i hadocha, ramila lo bo'i hadocha.
Right, so
the Bach corrects it. Boy, you see the Bach Aleph. The Bach Aleph says, bo'i hadocha, lo bo'i hadocha. The Bach changed the loshen nekeva to loshen zocher. Because according to Rashi, you're talking about the piece of flesh. Whether you have to rinse it off. So Tosfos says no, but our gifts in the Gemara is Bayo Hadocha, because Sakin is Loshen Nekeva. Sakin Chalevis or Sakin Shalisa is Loshen Nekeva. So Tosfos says the Machloikis is whether you have to rinse off the knife before you cut the piece of flesh or not. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to discuss further. Omer Rav Yudah Mishmuel, the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel. Kairish and Malach Babasar, I salted flesh. and the dam drips into a container, and it's sitting there for a while. So do you say that the plate, the kaira, becomes treif, it's balea the dam, or not? There's nothing burning hot. Normally there's a blia when something is rasech. Rasech is yatzaledes. Anything below yatzaledes is tzaynen. So we are machma, anything above 120. If it's a little bit 121, maybe there's room to negotiate. But if it's significantly above 120, so we're machma that that's called yatzaledes. So what if it's below yatzaledes? Karish amalach babas, I salted flesh. There's no yatzaledes, nowhere near yatzaledes. The room temperature. So zoktachirish osalechal barasech. You're not allowed to use that plate, that treif. The plate became treif because since it's you salted the flesh and the dam is mixed in with a lot of salt, so maliach. Malicha makes a bliya also, even though it's a bliya b'tzaynin. Malicha makes a bliya. Zog the Gemara Shmuel etaymei. The vav is a mistake here. Shmuel is going l'shita so. The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said malicha arei kiraseach. Let's say you have two pieces of flesh. One is nevela, one is kosher. And I'm salting all the flesh to remove all the dam. So the traitor piece of flesh is sitting right on top of the kosher piece of flesh and has an awful lot of salt. Not some, a little salt. Has a lot of salt on it. So malicha, just like if I would cook the kosher flesh with the treifa flesh, it would give in the sinas tam because it's burning hot. Or if I broil kosher flesh on top of treifa flesh, so the blia will go from the treifas to the kosher. So even if I'm not broiling and I'm not cooking, but I'm salting one next to the other, so it causes a blia. There's a blia b'tzaynin. Malich harer kiraseach, just like tzli, resech of tzli. Just like if you would broil kosher flesh with treifa flesh, there would be a blia. So if you have maliach, if you salt kosher flesh with treifa flesh, and they're touching each other, maliach is also gives a blia. And kovash, harehu kim bevushal. Let's say I have a pot full of liquid, and I have a piece of treifa salami sitting in the pot for 24 hours. So the Gemara says, if you soak treifas with a liquid, kula yoima, all day long, I think we had it already, and kuf chesam and aleph, we discussed it. The Gemara says, if you soak flesh in milk for 24 hours, that's not derech bishul. So that's only basa b'chola d'rabbanon. Basa b'chola d'rabbanon is also b'achila, but it's muta b'hanoa. If you would cook the flesh with the milk, then it would be basa b'chola d'raisa, lo yisivashul g'di, derech bishul los retur. So if you cook the flesh with the milk, it becomes basa b'chola d'raisa, it becomes asa b'hanoa. But if you only soak the flesh in the milk, it's only basa b'chala d'rabbanon, so it's muta b'anoa, it's muta b'bishul, it's muta to do it, it's only asa b'achidah. So the Gemara's lashon was, he torelei kula yoima b'chelva, he shorelei, toru, toru is Aramaic for shorah. If you soak the flesh, kula yoima, all day long. What does it mean, all day long, 24 hours? That's how we pass the meis leis. So there's one opinion, kula yoima, all day long, 12 hours. There's one opinion, the daytime part of the day.
Light out.
Right. The light, the daytime part of the day, 12 hours. The other opinion, the middle sheet that we pass from 24 hours, then there's a third sheet that it's against the Gemara. In order to soak Kovishka Mevushal, Shanega Bli has to soak for 72 hours. So it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kula Yayma, all day long. This Kovishka Mevushal. So where did they get the sheet that's. The Beis Yosef quotes all the three sheets.
Yom
HaRif.
So
where did they get 72 hours? No, they got it from the Gemara now with the Zohar. The Gemara says if you have barrels, it's in your day. If you have barrels where they held tray for wine, and you so how are the barrels balea? Even if the barrels are klicheris and you can't do hagola, but if the barrels were balea the tray for wine just by kovush, the wine was sitting in the barrel for a long time, so the barrels become treif. So even though HaTorah hi idal klicheris, the Chumash tells us that hagola doesn't help on klicheris. That's only if there was a blia bechamin. If you poured burning hot treifas into the klicheris, then hagola isn't going to help. But if the whole blia was a blia b'tzayin and it was only adei kovush, then the Gemara says milu b'yiril gimel yamim is good. If you take your barrel and you fill it up with water till the top, and you let the water sit there for more than 24 hours, then you pour out the water and you fill it up again for a little more than 24 hours, then you pour out the water, you fill it up the third time. So you do, that's miloy v'ira gimel yom. You fill it up for 24 hours, three times, 72 hours, changing the water. So that removes the whole bliya, even though it's a klicheris. Even though it's a klicheris, and agola doesn't help if it's a bliya bechamin. But if it's only a bliya b'tzaynin, then halacha says that mila v'yira is good. So why do you need 72 hours? The rule is kibola kach bolta, the same way it's boleya, that's how it comes out. So they said is the haraya, so some rishonim said is haraya, that in order to say kovish kemavushal has to sit there to soak for 72 hours. So we don't accept that opinion. We say kibola kach bolta just determines what form of kosherization you need. There are three ways how to kasher trefik kelim. Sometimes you kasher with hagola, sometimes the halacha requires libun, and sometimes the halacha says even easier than hagola. You just have to do kibola kach polta. The bliya was aydei kovush, so the plata you can kosherize it. You can kasher out the pad by soaking it. But once you determine which form of kosherization you need, then you don't say everything follows accordingly. If it was balei aydei kovush, then you have to soak it for 72 hours to get the trefa bli out. You don't say, well, I only soaked it for 26 hours. It only was bale 26 hours, so I only have to soak the pot for 26 hours. No. Kibola kach polta determines which form of kashering you need. Once you determine that the whole bliya was aide kovish, or you can be maflit the trefa bliya, aide kovish, then the halacha takes over and says, you got to soak it for 72 hours, changing the water every 24 hours.
Can you certainly do hagon on the kli cheres if you only had a bliya from kavish in the bushel, or the need of the iwi is better than the hagon?
So that's a machlekes harishainim. If you have a trefa kli cheres, where the whole bliya was betzainen, aide kovish, let's say you have schnapps glasses, or you have glasses that all year long, sometimes you leave chametz dikke. Years ago, chocolate milk used to have flour in it to make it thick. When I was a little boy, chocolate milk used to have flour in it. So sometimes you leave chametz dikke liquids in a glass, and the Ramah is machma that we treat glass as if it's kli cheres. The Mechaber says a glass is not balei at all. So many Sfaradim follow the Mechaber. You only have one set of dishes. They use it for chametz and for Pesach and for fleishiks and milchiks and parva. Glass is not balei afartik, and the Ramah is machmir that we treat glass as if it's kli cheres. So as if it's kli cheres, at least for Pesach. The Ramah says at least for Pesach. Some machrayim want to say the chumash of Ramah was only for Pesach. He never meant it for treifas, and most people don't follow that. Most people have two sets of dishes. Most Ashkenazim have two sets of dishes. You don't rely that glass is not balei all year long. So you can use the same glass dishes from fleishig and milchig. So the shad is if you have glass dishes, glass glasses, and you think that maybe there was a bli of chametz, maybe the schnapps was sitting there for 24 hours, so it was balei aydei kovush, and then you want a kasher for Pesach. So years ago, people couldn't afford to buy a whole set of glasses for Pesach. So he used to soak in a bathtub. So he couldn't take a bath for a couple of days before Pesach. So they would soak all the glasses in the bathtub or in pans. They would soak the glasses for 24 hours, then change the water another 24 hours and so on. So the shot, what if it's a day and a half before Pesach and you don't have 72 hours to kasher? So can you do Hagolah? Can you do Hagolah? Well, we're machmer that the glass is klicheres, so usually Hagolah doesn't help on klicheres, but here, you could have kashered it with mili v'yirui, so maybe Hagolah is better than mili v'yirui. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens b'feirush that Hagolah is good. Hagolah is better than mili v'yirui gimel yom. So that's the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens that any trefa kli that you could have done mili v'yirui to soak it for 72 hours, changing the water, so if you want to, then do a hagolah.
I'm ahead
of
the other way. You can't say that the flight, Pesach, you take it to a
That's another question. When does Mila V'Yiri work? If you have a treif, if you have a kli that became treif because kabush, something was soaking. So the Gemara in the Bavli, we only have it by stam yenom. The barrels that had treif of wine, we're not talking yayin nesach that the goy was mamish menasach lava dessert. Talking stam yenom is a chumah midirabbanim. So the Gemara only says it in the Bavli by stam yenom. You could do this trick midiviru gimyam, soak the barrels for 72 hours. The Yerushalmi says it by chametz. The Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi says it by the chametz diki keilim. There were only balei chametz alidei kovush, so you can do mili v'yir gemyam. So the shayla is, what if it had mamish chazashmalz? cold chazeshmaltz sitting there, liquidy chazeshmaltz sitting for 24 hours. Would you also say the milah yeri gimel yamin works? So that's the shachan yeridaya says what you said. In the second chelik yeridaya, in the beginning of the second chelik yeridaya, the Shulchan Aruch talks a lot about the stam yenim, about the tray for wine. So the shach says in stam yenim there are a lot of kulas, because the real iser of stam yenim is really it's mishum b'nei sehim. The Chachamim prohibited bishulakum and pasakum and stam yenim because it may lead to intermarriage. They would never ask the stam yenim because of nisuch, because it's so far fetched. The guy's going to be menasech the wine for tikruvus avodah zarah. Then he's going to sell it to me. Then he's going to give it to me to drink. If he dedicated it to avodah zarah, he's not going to give it to the Jews. So it's such a far fetched chashash. So Taisa said they would never have made exera for that. But once they already made the prohibition that you're not allowed to drink stam yenim because of chashash chasnus and may cholila lead to intermarriage, said once they made the issur, so they added on. And not only is it asur b'achila, we asur it b'hanah too, because there is also a far fetched chashash maybe he was menasach it. So that's what the shach writes. The whole prohibition of stam yenim is a chumrah to start off. The whole thing is a chumrah. So there we make, even though it's an issur, it's Isura Bola, so there we're makel to say that the Mila V'Yira is good. Or, Chometz Kodem HaPesach is Hetera Bola. That's a big machlekes. So the Shach says, B'negei to Mila V'Yira, we'll makel that if the glasses, you think the glasses have a bli of schnapps in them, maybe the schnapps glasses, maybe you didn't wash the glasses for 24 hours, has a bli of schnapps, maybe had a bli of a Chometz Dik chocolate milk or something like that, maybe had some flour in it. So chametz kodem haPesach is hetera bola. So there we would be mekel. Or let's say you have a klicheres, or let's say you have glasses. We treat glasses like klicheres, and it had milk sitting in it for 24 hours, cold milk. So milk is hetera bola. Milk is kosher. Milk with the flesh will become treif. Milk alone, before you mix in the flesh, is hetera bola. Or let's say you had chicken soup. Cold chicken soup was sitting in a glass. A cold chicken soup was sitting in a klicheres for 24 hours. So it makes a bliya with kavishka mevusha. So since the chicken soup is hetera bola, or the cold milk is hetera bola, even more so, chametz kodem haPesach is a machlekes, whether it's hetera bola or isura bola. So when you get to this, then we'll make it. But the shach says, if you have, let's say, a kli, a container was balea treifis, chazeshmaltz, cold chazeshmaltz, was sitting for 24 hours, then he says we wouldn't be makel to say mili v'iri would be good enough.
So what's the whole problem with the scotch whiskey? They use cakes that are liquid wine, because they're all wine cakes. They use that because they've already absorbed. They want to absorb any more liquid. It's cheaper that way. They don't have, you know, different working rules. So that's why they use cakes.
No, they use wine containers because they want the flavor of the wine to mix. No. So there's a machloikes among the schnapps manufacturers. They have an old minik from centuries ago that they age the schnapps in sherry caskets, in sherry casks, in containers that had wine, trefer wine in them. So they have a machloikes. Every 2-3 years, the New York Times writes a whole arichas about this machloikes. The same machloikes. They write over the same thing. So yesh oimrim, some say that the reason why they age the schnapps in the wine containers because they want the flavor of the wine to blend in with the schnapps to have a certain flavor. And others say that's not true. They want the flavor of the wood to blend in with the flavor of the schnapps. But they don't want it to be too woody, so they take sherry casks, so the wine should offset the flavor of the wood, and it shouldn't be too woody. I remember once, quite a few years ago, there was a bacher in Eretz Yisrael who wanted to find out why they aged the schnapps in the sherry cask. So he called me on the phone. I was in the OU office in New York. He called me on the phone from Eretz Yisrael, and he says he's going to make a conference call. He's going to call Scotland. So he calls a schnapps company in Scotland, and he asks the girl, the Hakira. The secretary answered the phone. It was hard to understand because she spoke a Scottish English. She didn't speak an American English. So he asks her, the Hakira, why did they age it in the sherry cask? Are they interested in the flavor of the wine? The interest in the flavor of the wood. She started to laugh. So she said, she's sure that they're interested in the flavor of the wine, but let me connect you with the chemist. He'll tell you the answer. He took 2-3 minutes. And he gets the same chakir. He says, no, who's interested in the flavor of the wine? We want the flavor of the wood, and the wine is to offset the flavor of the wood. So that's why there's a big machlekes. Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes in his tshuva this way. Rav Moshe assumes that davar pashut, they're not interested in the flavor of the wine. They're only interested in the flavor of the wood, and the wine is to offset the flavor of the wood. So since the din is at stam yenam, if you pour stam yenam into a kugel or into flesh, so you have to have shishin in order to be mevatel. But if you mix stam yenam by accident, you're not supposed to mix it in the mezid. But if you mixed in by mistake, stam yenam got mixed into punch or into a beverage, so then the din is in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is bottled b'shisha. Because you say bar pi agafen on wine, even if it's diluted a little bit, but if it's too diluted, then it becomes shahakal. So how much is considered too diluted? So it depends how strong the wine was. So if it's very strong wine, so it can be up until six units of water and one unit of wine. So we're machmer that you always need six. Even though by us, we wouldn't say bar pi agafen. If you have 5 units of water against one unit, we wouldn't say bar pi agafen.
I think that some of the whiskeys were painted with
No, but they're also interested, they want Dafka should be wine, because sometimes they're not happy about the way the schnapps tastes. So they'll pour out tens of thousands of dollars worth of schnapps because they're not happy.
Sherry casks, but they're available in Europe. They get them from Spain. They can't make them in England or whatever you need them for. It's much cheaper to get to it. They make them in Spain. That's why they use those casks.
But
economics too.
Yeah, but they also use the casks because they want the wine, either because they want the flavor. That's the machlokes among the chemists. Is the old meaning because they want the flavor of the wine to blend in with the flavor of the schnapps? They want the wine to offset the flavor of the wood. They're really interested in the flavor of the wood.
So
Ramosha assumes the tilpel dig away. He doesn't even spell it out. By him, it's such a davar pashut, he takes it for granted. They're not really interested in the flavor of the schnapps. They're interested in the flavor of the wood. And the wine is to offset, shouldn't taste too woody. So Ramosha says it's like wine fell in accidentally. If you pour in wine into schnapps and you want to blend in this flavor, so you don't say it's bottled b'shisha. Wine is bottled b'shisha because it's nice and tam l'fgam. It doesn't enhance the flavor. But if that's what they want, and it is, then it's nice and tam l'shvach. So Moshe assumes they're not really interested in the flavor of the wine. And the Minchas Yitzchak, who used to be the Dayan in the Eidach HaRedis from Manchester, so he says no. He assumes that davar pashut, they're interested in mixing the flavor of the wine into the flavor of the schnapps. So since that's what they want, so that's nice and tam l'shvach. That's not nice and tam l'fgam.
So according to Moshe, you wouldn't necessarily need a hechsher on scotch.
That's what he writes. You don't need a hechsher on any of these. Someone asked what Aaron Felder used to be Bar Moshe for years.
Yeah,
used to be Felder and Bluth. He used to be Bar Moshe all day and all night. He used to be Bar Moshe. So they asked Felder, how did Rav Moshe celebrate his birthday? He was born on Zayin Adar. That's why he was called Moshe. Same birthday as Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said he used to drink l'chaim on a cup of blended scotch, because he holds that it's mutter. Yeah. He holds that you don't need a hashgacha. He used to drink l'chaim. That's how he celebrated his birthday every year. He held that the blended scotch is mutter. And he has a few tshuvas to Rabbi Teitz from Elizabeth.
So what happens? So the fact of the matter is that the wine is still going into the shops, the taste of the wine. We don't care about that.
If you have shisha of the other beverage against the wine, so the wine is bottled b'shisha. Unless you want davke to mix in wine into the punch, and that enhances the flavor, so then it's nice and tam l'shvach.
So why are we assuming that the wine is
if you're interested in the flavor of the wine blending in, so that's nice and tam l'shvach. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak said. What does it help that you have shisha? The whole reason for shisha, because it's nice and tam l'fgam. Here it's nice and tam l'shvach. This is what the flavor that the people want. This is what the customers like. And Rav Moshe assumes that no one's interested in blending in the flavor of the wine into the schnapps. They're interested in the flavor of the wood, and the wine is to offset the wood flavor. Shouldn't be too woody.
But that means you still have to have wine which is 6 times more than the
blee
in the wood.
You have to have schnapps.
I mean,
six times. Yeah. Yeah, that you're going to have. we assume in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that it's very rare to have shishim. If you have a big pot, it's very rare to have shishim in the liquid inside against the whole thickness of the walls. But usually you will have shloshim. That's how the Prima Gadim said. Usually you will have shloshim. So shisha for sure you have. You have six times as much, that's for sure.
I know that out of, going back to the previous time, I know that out of town sometimes in the small places where they don't have a kosher caterer, they get glass dishes from a completely non-Jewish, non-kosher place, and they use it. And based on the head of the glasses in Belay, is there any Ashkenazi person that would also get them?
There are some who are of the opinion that the Ramah had this Chumrah is only written in Hilchas Pesach. In Yeridei he didn't write it. In Hilchas Trefa Kalim he doesn't write it. He only writes in Hilchas Pesach. So some Achrayim say he only meant it as a Chumrah Pesach. But it's hard to assume like that because in Yeridei there's a whole siman about kashering Trefa Kalim. So it hardly says anything there. It says look in Hilchas Pesach, everything is there. So there's nowhere for the Ramah to write anything in Yeridei. So whatever you're going to write, it's all going to be in Tuf Nun Aleph and Hilchas Pesach. But that's why most assume, the Prima Gadim assumes, that the Ramah's Chumrah is not restricted only to Pesach, it applies to all year long. The only thing is that we know now for a fact that the glass is not Boleah. We know it's not Boleah. The whole Machlekes was, the Mechaber is quoting Rishonim. If you know the glass is not Boleah, so you can use the chain glass place for fleshing and for milk and
take for
kosher. Yeah,
hot milk.
Even hot. So the Mechaber assumes that it's not Balei. The Ramot quotes the Rishonim who weren't so convinced. Today they make experiments. They make experiments with all kinds of chemicals, and they know that it's not Balei. I remember once in a chemistry lab, I had Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik for chemistry. So in the middle of the lab, we were doing some experiment with a test tube. What do you call it? What is it made from?
Pyrex.
From a Pyrex test tube. So I asked him, Mishaila, is it Balea? Is the Pyrex Balea? So he screamed at me. He was very nervous, but he said, idiot! Is this idiot! If the Pyrex is Balea, so the whole experiment is teignished. You're dropping in exactly so much, one drop of the chemical, two drops. If it's Balea, has the whole Balea from all the other chemical. Obviously it's not Balea. We know today that Pyrex and glass, all the stuff, we know it's not Balea. They made so many experiments, they know it's not Balea.
A lot of places say that they wrote Pyrex is different than regular glass.
Okay.
And glass, this says it was metal, but Pyrex is more like a terrace. I've seen that in many writings.
Yeah, but we... But we know for a fact that the Pyrex is not Balea. We know they're all not Balea.
Sometimes you see it, like when they cook in these Corningware things, and Pyrex things, it becomes this color, you see that there's something that comes into it.
Really?
You know, like if you have a glass casserole dish. You can't make something in it. It's never going to look exactly clean.
It becomes smoky. Something comes in. It becomes smoky.
Not just on the surface. Teignish. If you see it's bole, then it's bole. Okay.
Plastic cups.
Plastic. We don't know, so we assume everything is bole. The Maisa, they say that stainless steel is not bole. They made so many. They say stainless steel is not bole. So strictly speaking, the Rishonim say, whenever you know that something is not Balea, it's not Balea. It's not a Kabbalistic concept. Balea corresponds to reality. The Chazal always used to experiment to say things. That's Rav Soloveitchik drew the contrast. He said the Greek philosophers didn't hold from experimentation. They felt that manual labor is only for slaves. And free people have to philosophize. Why does fire go up? Why does water go down? Why does water extinguish fire? Why doesn't the fire extinguish the water? Everything went with Chakiris, with philosophy. And Chazal used to experiment on everything. And he used to quote, he was fond of quoting the Gemara. David HaMelech says, all the other kings sit on the Kisei HaMalchus, B'chodesh HaMalchus, B'yadai Melochlochus, B'dam Shvir V'shilya. David HaMelech has to pass him whether the woman is Muteris Labaila, Asura Labaila. He holds the Marit to see, he holds a Shvir to see whether it's Merukam, is it Memyom, is it less than Memyom. The Chazal always believed in experimentation. And the Rishalmi has commenting in Mishnayis Chala. The din is that you only Chayv and Chala, if it's called Lechem. Hoye Bachol, next week said in Shlach. Hoye Bachol Chem Yilechem Ha'oretz. So you only chayv and hafroshes challah on lechem, on bread. Some people think you only chayv and challah on challah. That for sure is a mistake. chayv and challah on bread, or in cake and cookies, because if you eat enough cake and cookies, you say hamotzi. So it's also called lechem. It's a subcategory. It's pas habah b'kisnim, but it's also pas. If you cook wheatina, farina, something like that, that's bari minim zedek. That's never going to be hamotzi. You can eat a ton of it. That's not lechem. But if you have a solid piece of cake or cookie that has a loaf shape to it, so that is called lechem. It is called pas, a subcategory. It's pas habah b'kisnim. So since if you eat enough of it, you say hamotzi. So that shows that it is lechem. So yichai v'challah on bread and cake and cookies. So where is it called lechem? So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Which flour do you have to use? That should, what if you use potato starch? Is it chayv challah? The Gemara says no. The potato starch, only the 5 minim. Wheat, barley, oats, rice, flour. Right. Why only the 5 minim? So it's halacha l'moshim. You see, the Gemara says no. The Tanoim experimented and they say only something which is bole de chimutz. Learn that from the pasuk. Matzah is lechem oni. And chametz and matzah, you have to, when you bake the matzah, you have to be careful, it shouldn't become chametz. If there's nothing to be careful about, you're going to make matzah that you can set it, let it sit all day long, it's not going to become chametz, then it's not called matzah. It's not called lechem unless it's bole de chimetz. If it's not bole de chimetz, we have a different word for that chemical reaction, that's bole de sirchein. So there's an achlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah where the oriz, usually some oriz is rice. If you mix rice with water, is that bread? Is that chayv and challah? Is that hamotzi? Is that birchas hamazon? Is it good for matzah? Or do you say oiriz is not called lechem? So it's a machlokes hatanoim. So the Yushalmi and challah yes the kasha. It all depends on whether it's bole de chimetz or bole de sirchin. So how can have a machlokes? Mix the rice with the water and watch it and see whether it's bole de chimetz. Experiment and find out. That's what the Ramban quotes that Yerushalmi. That in yeshivas today, everybody assumes like the Ramban, you can never have a machlokes in mitzias. What are the Tanoim going to fight about something? Experiment and find out whether it's bole de chimetz. Yerushalmi answers they did experiment and they mixed the rice with the water and it came to a chemical reaction. And one Tana said that's called sirchein, and one Tana said that's called chimetz. They argued, where do you draw the line? What's called chimetz and what's called sirchein? Because bole de chimetz means it has so much gluten. So apparently rice has a lower degree of gluten. It has a little bit of gluten, not as much as wheat and barley and so on. So that was a machlekes, that degree of gluten, it's a lower percentage, is that considered bole de chimetz or it's insufficient? So that's the Yerushalmi that the Ramban quotes. The Gemara in Chulin and the first daf in the third parak has a machlekes hatanoim, where the trefa chai, trefa ein chai, the Torah prohibits us from eating animals that are trefas, the 70 trefas. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Why is it also to eat a trefa? Is it because we assume trefa ein chai? The animal is one leg out already, it's going to die within 12 months, so that's why you're not allowed to eat it. The shechit only works if you shech the live animal. This animal is half dead. Everybody's aymed lamas, all the behemoths. But if it's aymed lamas within a year, then it's a trefa. And the other shita, no, trefa chaya. The Torah prohibits us from eating diseased animals, specific diseased animals, even if the animal's not going to die within a year. So it's a machlekes in the Gemara. So the Ramban fekt akasha to mihani hech nechleku avois ha'olam hake the heilige tanoim have a machlekes in mitzias. Why don't they experiment? What are they just philosophizing with chakiris? Why didn't they lock up 100 animals that had trefus and see if they'll survive a whole year or not? And he quotes this Yerushalmi and Chala, that it never makes sense to have a machlekes hatanoim on something that you can experiment and ascertain. So the Ramban doesn't know, he's guessing. So he says, what probably happened was they must have locked up 500 animals that had trefus. They probably all died within a year. So one Tana said, there you have it, that's conclusive proof that the trefus, all the trefus are rasa, because they're going to die within a year. And the other Tanaim said, no, ruba de ruba of trefus are going to die within a year. It wasn't a controlled experiment. If you would have locked up 5,000 animals, maybe two or three of them would have survived after the year. So you didn't prove conclusively that every animal that has a trefus is going to die. You took 500 animals. Maybe if you would have taken 5,000 animals, 10,000, maybe some of them would have survived after the year. So that's the Ramban's kalal. He has it at different places in Shas. It never makes sense to have a machlokes in mitzias.
So glass, therefore glass does not baloya, and therefore glass is all I can eat.
So the Svardim followed the psak of the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Kara, who writes that glass is not baloya, and when I'm aramid, so you can use it for chametz and pesach and fleshiks and milchiks. So the Ramah quotes those Rishonim who are not so convinced. In the days of the Rishonim, they had no way to experiment to determine whether it's...
Today they do.
They experimented. So they know the glass is hardly Balea at all. And the slug glia that it has is going to be bottled by Elif when it's going to come out into the food you cook now. And stainless steel is even Balea less than glass. Stainless steel Balea less than glass. So that's the Shaila. We have to get all the Rabbonim, we have to get all the Kashrus organizations from the whole world. A Mashiach would come and we'll have a meeting. Maybe. If Mashiach will invite everybody, maybe we'll have a meeting.
The 18 Tefes that the Gemara mentioned, even though we can say that they don't die, we have to assume it's in the Gemara, we have to assume it's going to.
That's how the Rambam says. The Tefes that are listed in the Mishnah, even if they'll survive 12 months, they're usur. An additional treifas is only if you know that it's going to die, if the doctor says it's going to die within 12 months. The Gemara has additional treifas over and above those listed in the Mishnah. The two dinim, that's where the Dogon Mervava, the Nadi Yehud, on the side of the Yerideh, Simon Lamites, the first Simon of Hilchas Treifas, so he writes like that, the two dinim of treifas. One din is whatever we have in Masorah, these diseases are usur, even if the animal will survive well over a year. And then additional sicknesses, if the doctors size up the situation, the animal is going to die within a year. That also has a din of treif.
On the pasuk of Kisne, when do you need two rods in a hammer?
There are two dinim of turisa in the hammer. There's one din, tzuras hapas. Turisa in the hammer means tzuras hapas.
Yeah.
So Taisa says, if you don't have turisa in the hammer, then it's not called lechem inadim echayv and chala. Let's say you're making wheatina farina, a liquidy thing. There's no loaf shape, so not called lechem at all. Then there's another din, if it is loaf shape, but it's a cake. So then the Gemara says, it has a teresa denama for chiyav chala, but it doesn't have a tzuras hapas for hamoitzi. So if you eat a ton of it, if you eat a lot of it, then you wash and you say hamoitzi in your bench. But if you eat it as a snack, as a cake, a piece of cake, then you say mezoina. So they really... The usage of the term Turisa Denama, which is the Aramaic for Tzuras HaPas, is used in the Gemara and the Tosfos with two different meanings. In the Gemara it's talking, does it look like cake or does it look like bread? If it looks like bread, it's always Hamoitzi, even if you're just eating a Nash. And if it looks like cake, it's normally Mezainas. Unless you eat a lot of it, then it's Hamoitzi. And Tosfos uses the Lashon Turisa Denama in the sense, is it a loaf shape? If it's not a loaf shape, so it's not even Chai V'Chala. It doesn't have a shame Lechem at all.
How about making pasta? You make the spaghetti with elbow macaroni. Does that require challah or not?
Rav Soloveitchik thought that not. What happened was...
It has neither. It doesn't have a
story. Rav Soloveitchik was giving a shiur. So one of the boys had learned by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, by his son-in-law. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein mentioned in the shiur that he personally is machmer not to eat spaghetti outside of a meal. In the middle of the meal, when he said, I might say, then I'll eat spaghetti. Otherwise he won't. Because he said, according to Tosfos, it's a suffix, but the spaghetti is hamoitzi hamazayin. Tosfos uses a French word. In the back of the Gemara, they have that mitar game, so he gives you the Yiddish word, so he says it's lokshin. Tosfos is talking about lokshin. So this bacher was in the Shia. So Rav Soloveitchik was talking about spaghetti is mazayin, so he said, but isn't spaghetti a suffix hamoitzi? Rav Soloveitchik screamed, are you off your mind? Since when is spaghetti a suffix hamoitzi? There's no loaf shape. What has it got to do? Not shaykh. There's no suffix. I might say there's no chiyav chala. There's nothing. But Tosfos does say that the current Rabbeinu Tam spaghetti is... we don't pass them like that, Rabbeinu Tam.
They always had a strong chat about rice and millet, of course, which is rice and millet.
Which one is Iris? Yeah, the Gemara
so
says
that. They wash once in rice, they show you
the right. I'm more concerned... Forget about... I'm more concerned about taking for chala.
Okay.
Making spaghetti, you have to be... My spaghetti nowadays?
No.
No.
Pretzels are different kinds of pretzels. So the stringy pretzels, I don't think there's any loaf shape. But if you have these big fat pretzels, you know, the very big ones, that's taka loaf shape. So that could taka be. If it has big chunks of salt on it, so that's like having sugar in the middle. That's like it's clear that it's a snack, it's not a meal. But if you have a big pretzel and it doesn't have the big chunks of salt on it, so maybe it is a tzuras hapas, maybe it is a moitz. That's a shayla.
What is the shear for moitz and veching on your cake or pretzel?
that's a shaila what the shir is. So the Magen Avraham writes like this. Let's say you go to a wedding and you plan to leave before the bench of mezuman. So you don't want to wash for bread. I plan to go to a wedding later. I'm going to come probably to the benching. I'm not going to eat anything. But sometimes you go to a wedding, you want to leave before the benching, so you don't wash. Because if you wash, you're supposed to wait till you bench mezuman. So sometimes, let's say you have the soup and you have the, you eat everything and you're stuffed. Then at the end you have some cake. So that cake, you're ready to platz. You're ready, overate. So achila gasa ready. So that cake, that's mezuinus. That's not a mitzvah. But let's say it's you didn't eat since lunchtime and you're hungry. And you're waiting for the waiter to give you something to eat, and he's starving. And then they have cookies on the table, so you start noshing the cookies, not as a snack. It's not a chila gasa. You're hungry. You're eating the cookies. Now the cookies alone are not going to make kedei sviya, but the cookies together with all the other courses are going to make you going to fill you up. So the Magen Avraham says that's called the kriya suda, and on the cookies, you have to wash and say amotzi and benish. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskens like the Magen Avraham. Mishnah Berurah also paskens like the Magen Avraham. Some are not happy with the Magen Avraham. Dor HaShulchan is not happy, but Rav Moshe follows the Magen Avraham. So that's called the Kriya Suda. Or let's say if you eat, we usually assume the volume of three or four beitzim of cake or cookies. A lot of times people do that. They eat so much cake or so much cookies. It's the volume of three or four beitzim, so that's called the kviya suda. So then you have to wash and even without eating anything else. But then Magen Avraham has a chiddush: if you eat the cookies in the middle of a meal, you didn't wash for bread. You eat the cookies in the middle of the meal when you're still hungry, and the cookies are going to help you fill up, and then you're full from the whole meal. It's your part of the cook. So that's called the kviya suda on the cookies. Yeah. So let's see again the Gemara. So the Gemara quotes Shmuel Taimei. Shmuel said, if you salted flesh, about 8 lines from the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, if you salted flesh on a plate, so the salting, so the dam is going to come out, and it's very salty dam because you salted the flesh. So Maliach will make the plate treif, so you shouldn't eat hot food. Also Lechol Barisech, you shouldn't put hot kosher food on the plate, because it'll make a treif. So the Gemara Shmuel Taimei. Shmuel goes l'shitas Adam Shmuel Maliach Areir Kiraseh. Just like if you would broil kosher flesh with treif of flesh touching each other, so the treif of flesh would make treif the kosher flesh. So Maliach, if you salt treif of flesh with kosher flesh one on top of the other, so Maliach is Kiraseh Ditzli. The Kovash Areihu Kimavushol. If you soak, let's say you soak flesh in milk for 24 hours. That's only going to be bas b'chol of the rabbanon, the worst, because it's not derech bishul. Or let's say you soaked something treif in liquid, so it makes treif all the liquid for 24 hours. You soaked it, so it'll make treif the kli. The kovash areyu kemevushol, just like if you would cook it in the pot, it would make a bliya. So if it's soaking for 24 hours, we paskin kovash. We don't paskin 12 hours. We don't paskin 72 hours. But the Beis Yosef paskin is the middle shita, 24 hours. It makes a treif. Why does he change the lashon? Maliach kireseh kovish kemevushol. So on Shulchan Aruch to explain, if you salt kosher flesh with treif flesh one on top of the other, it only asks kedei klipa. It doesn't ask it through and through the whole piece of kosher flesh. What if you would broil two pieces of flesh one on top of the other, burning hot, broiling on the fire? Also, there's no liquid. You're not cooking it in reitiv. It only asks kedei klipa. Kedei netila maybe, but it doesn't ask kedei kula. So maliach is kereseh ditzli, only asks part of the kosher piece. But kovash arei kemevushal asks kedei kuloi. The bliya goes through and through. Just like if it's mevushal with reitiv, the treif of bliya will go through and through, go through the whole pot and so on. So kovash also goes through and through. So that's Shmuel's chiddush. That's a chiddush. The Gemara says, Kiyasa Robin came from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So usually they didn't know in Bavel, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have any fax machines, they didn't know what Rabbi Yechanan said. Once in a while a Talmud would come from Eretz Yisrael, would start saying over, and sometimes they would say over incorrectly. So they would have another Talmud become corrected, so they were never too sure what Rabbi Yechanan said. Kiyasa Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, had to gezak, Rabbi Yechanan, Maliach, Eina Keresech, Vekavish, Eina Kemevushal. Not so. The Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel. And whenever it's a machlekes, usually whenever you have a machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and one of his contemporaries, so we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan alochi Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan alochi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Yishlokish alochi ki Rabbi Yochanan. Usually. There are exceptions to it. The only one who disagrees, the only contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. If he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, then the Gemara in the end of Megillah says, we always pass on like Rabbi Shua ben Levi against Rabbi Yochanan. So here, if Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel, the din is probably going to be like Rabbi Yochanan. The Kovish Einikim of Ushom Aleich, Einikim Reseach. So the Gemara, go fly kite. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Omar Abai Hoder Ravin Lesa. What Ravin said over, name Rabbi Yochanan, it cannot be correct. It cannot be that Rabbi Yochanan said, the Maliach Einikim Reseach Kovish Einikim of Ushom. It's not true. How does he know it's not true? Because Rabbi Yochanan had a Talmud, Rabbami. He spoke, there were four people. There was Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who were good friends, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. There was Rav Ami and Rav Asi. They were reverends. They lived in Bavel. You can't confer smicha in Bavel. So whenever it says Rabbi, it's a dead giveaway. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav, reverend, means he lived in Bavel. Rav Asi. They were reverend. He wasn't Rabbi. He didn't have smicha. So this Rabbi Ami lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So once upon a time, Hahu Pinka, there was once a china plate, a klicheris, the Havi Bey Rabbi Ami, in Rabbami's home, Bey Rabbami in his home, the Malach Babisra, they salted flesh on top of a kosher china dish, the Tavre, and he smashed the kli, because he can't kosher klicheris, there's no way to kosher the klicheris, if the Belia would have been Ayidei Kovush, so there's what to discuss. Maybe they would do milivir. He says if you pass like the Shach, milivir, he wouldn't help because it's Isura Bola. Maybe some disagree with the Shach. But here it was Balea, not Aide Kovish, it was Balea Aide Maliach. So Tabre, so he smashed it and he threw it in the garbage. Why did he smash the plate? Why did he smash it? Nichte Rabbi Ami, Talmud the Rabbi Yochanan have it. He was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan. My time at Tabre, why did Rabbami smash the plate? Why don't you just say Maliach Eine Kereseach? It doesn't make trade. His other favorite, La Mishum Nishmei Leimirei Rabbi Yochanan Adam Maliach Arek Yoseach. Obviously, this Ravin said over wrong. Abai says Ravin made a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan holds also Maliach Kereseach and Kavish Kemevusha. Why did they experiment to find out whether Maliach is Kereseach Kavish Kemevusha? So I think the Poshut, the answer probably is like this. We have a din when we learned the Hilchos Shabbos. There's a din. There's a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. That there's only bishul bikli rishon. Let's say you have a pot of soup on the fire, burning hot, on Friday night. Then you take the pot of soup off the fire. Then I take a raw egg and I put it into the pot. So if I put the raw egg into the pot while it's still on the fire, about it, that's bishul on the fire. So that's a malacha bishul deraisa. I take the pot off of the fire and I put in the raw egg. It's also going to get cooked. The soup is burning hot, has oil in it. It's well over 212 degrees. The oil doesn't evaporate so quickly. And it's going to, the egg is going to become hard-boiled. So that's bishul dikli rishon sholei al gabi ha'esh. So the Gemara says that that's a malacha derais. What if I pour this soup into a bowl, a soup bowl, and now it's a klisheni, and then I'll put the raw egg in, and I'll put a plate over the soup bowl so it shouldn't cool down, and I will succeed in making a hard-boiled egg. So the Gemara says the klisheni ain't a mevashel. So Tosfos says, what do you mean klisheni ain't a mevashel? But lemaisa, he made a hard-boiled egg. So Taisa says, "Ein derech bishul bekach." Since in klisheni, usually the tfanas are makaros, it's halacha miskarer. So that's not the normal way to cook things. So that's the halacha klisheni ein mevashel. So there's a machlokes. Is that din klisheni ein mevashel? That's only for hilchas Shabbos because it depends on bishul. And we had the first daf in kol habasar. That's neged the basar b'chalav deraisa. That if you have a bowl of chicken soup and you pour in milk. So since it's a klisheni, so it's only basa b'chalav derabbanan, because klisheni ain't a mevashel. In order to have basa b'chalav derais, you have derech bishul, and klisheni ain't a mevashel, so it's only basa b'chalav derabbanan. That was the gemara. What about benegiat to treifas? Let's say I'll put a treifa piece of salami into a bowl of burning hot soup and a klisheni. The treifa salami is treif, so I'll leave it there for 10 minutes. Then I'll take out the treifa salami. So you're going to eat the bowl of soup, it's going to taste, you'll taste the flavor of the treifa salami. So Tosfos says that it's mutter. Cliche in einem avashel, so it's mutter. So Ramban says, what are they talking about? You don't need bishul to make something awesome. Maliach kereseach kavish kemevushol. That's not bishul. whenever there's nesinas tam, it's usur. So what did Taisa say? That if it's a klisheni, it doesn't make usur. You don't. There's no halacha that requires it should be derech bishul. Whenever there's a nesinas tam, so it's usur. And we pass on like Taisa's migra. Then lachatchila we machma like the Ramban that a klisheni can make treif. And if there's a hefsid mammon, we really pass on like Taisa that klisheni doesn't make treif.
So make coffee on Shabbos morning.
Some people don't allow what?
In other words, they insist that you pour the hot water into the second container and then pour it into a cup of coffee.
Coffee's my virtual already. Coffee was processed. They do not have a
The new, the second edition of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, the original edition of Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says that it's muta, klisheni ain't a mash. And the second edition that came out over 40 years ago, now they have a third edition, has more chumris. But the second edition didn't have that many chumris, but he had a lot of chumris over the first edition. So he quotes this chumr, that the Ramos says that when you say ein bishul ha-bishul, that's only by dova gush. But by dova lach, let's say he takes the soup out from the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire. So the Ramo is machmer mid the rabbon and is choishes that bishulach abishul the dova lach. So then what's heist a dova lach? Dova lach means soup, dova lach. So then Rabbi Kivege has a chumer if you have powdered coffee and it's going to dissolve in a liquid, so that's also dina kedova lach. So even though the powder of the coffee powder was already mevushal, and it's a dova gush now, but since it's going to dissolve in the hot water, it's going to turn into a lach. So we treat it like a dova lach and say yesh bish lach bish. So that's in the second edition of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. He quotes that chumer. So that's why people are machmer. That there are those who are machmer. Okay.
But they claim
okay.
That the Rav's family used tea bags on Shabbos. No.
Yeah, the Rav said he used to use a tea bag in a klisheni. Because the tea bag you don't eat, that's tavlin. Tea bag you take out. But over here it's going to dissolve in the thing. So this we the Rabbi Kivege quotes a chumr that you treat that like a dovalach. It's a difficult chumr. You treat the powder of the coffee, the instant coffee, you treat it like a dovalach because it's going to become dissolved in the liquid. Treat it like a dovalach. So dovalach is yesh bishalach habishal. So there's a problem. Okay. So Mikir Adin, we paskin like Tosis. That klisheni, just like it's not mevashal for basa b'chala purposes, it's not mevashal for Hilchas Shabbos purposes, leave out the chumris midirabbanan. Klisheni is not mevashal, so we say klisheni, zeinim afli or mafli, it doesn't make treif either. Ramban says it doesn't make any sense. Who says he need bishul? If the din is malich kerestech and kavish kemevushul, so you see, you don't need bishul. So how can you say that klisheni ain't mevashal? So what? But it still succeeds in giving an asinus tam. It's burning hot. Yatzalet is gives an asinus tam. So it's a pella, but that's what we pass on like this. So what's the teretz? So Blaise Berry, you have to say, it's a shvera teretz, a Rav Soloveitchik. He said, Blaise Berry, you have to say, if it's a blia bechamin, it only asks if it's derech bishul. If it's a blia bitzainen, so you say, kovish kamavushal molech kirasech. That's a blia bitzainen. So there is a blia bitzainen that asks. But a blia, that's bechamin, only asks if it's derech bishul. So, but we can understand why there was an objection, why Ravin quotes in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, maybe it's rejected. Abai says he doesn't think it's true. But Ravin said, according to Rabbi Yechanan, Moliach Enikarasech Kovish Enikimavushal, why? He thinks that it only, Abliya only asks if it's Derech Bishal. If it's not Derech Bishal, it does Nasa. So Moliach is not Bishal and Kovish is not Bishal. We don't paskin like that. We paskin there can be Abliya Bitsainan. If it's a bliya bechamin, it has to be derech bishul. If it's klisheni, it's not derech bishul, so the bliya does nasa. But when it's a, if it's a bliya bechamin, it has to be derech bishul. So we understand what they're fighting about. Why there's room to argue the point and say kovish is not kemavushal, malich is not kiresech. But we paskin kovish does asa, malich does asa. Okay, Leineta, we'll continue next week. I remember many years ago, Sukkot was on a Sunday night. So I was visiting out of town where there was a Frumi yeshiva, and they had in the Jewish newspapers, like the Jewish press. So this was, I was in London at the time, so they had in there whatever newspaper was that they had advertisements. the Moichre Svarim used to sell the Dalad Ninim, like in America, the Moichre Svarim used to sell. So they put an advertisement, Ulakachtam Lachem Bayom Arishan, come to the store on Sunday and buy your Dalad Ninim. Ulakachtam, the Pasuk says, you should shake a Lulav and Esrik in the first day Sukkot. Ulakachtam Lachem means hold the Lulav and Esrik. So the Moichre Svarim put an advertisement, purchase your Dalad Ninim on Sunday, because Sunday night is Yom Tov. So I remember I was staying by a Frum family. So the son of the family said, it's apikursis, it's kfira, it's magala panamator shalek aloche, it's the falsha pshat in the post. I said, what kind of apikursis? A melitza, an advertisement. Yes, yeah, so I remember once the Rav told us over a story, and it's in the Chuvas Marival, I think, Ibn Leib, they have this story. They asked the shaila, is it permissible to use a pasuk as a melitza in a pshat that the pasuk clearly does not mean? Is that called megalim? Is that called apikursis? So he says it's mutter, and he tells a story in connection with the haftorah. That the haftorah b'haloischa is nearest the Zechariah in the beginning of the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. So the Navi was told everything's going to be marvelous. Bayis Sheni are going to be built. So the pasuk says, there's going to be such supervision. 7 people are going to be watching when they lay every stone, when the bricks, in the cement. Everybody's going to be supervising the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Marival quotes this incident that once the Rebbe with the Talmidim, the Mari Bei Rav, was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. So he was once walking mountain climbing with his Talmidim. They were walking, and they got exhausted. So they decided to have a break for a few minutes to sit down. So it was a gigantic boulder. So 4 of them sat down on one boulder. So there were 3 Talmidim at the Rebbe sat down. And the Rebbe was blind on one eye. So one of the Talmidim asked permission to say a joke. So my Rebbe Arab said, okay. So he said, I see Alevanacha Shivei Noim. I see 4 people with 7 eyes. 4 people should have 8 eyes, but the Rebbe was blind on one eye. So the Rebbe chuckled and he said, good, he appreciates it. So he says, you see that it's permissible to use a pasuk as a melitza, even though it's clear that that's not what it. Remember, the Rav once told over that story. It's in the Chuvas of the Marival. Mutter.
He's giving us Shir and Mishpatim, and he says, what's the proof you can't read a postcard?
No
punch hitter. It's a Rashi. Okay.
There you go.